Hey guys, before we start, I just want to thank you for your support by listening. It would really help us if you subscribe, share, and leave us a rating and review. We would really appreciate it, and let's get started. When you said helping people, all of a sudden I said, wait, what are we talking about?
Are we talking about motivation here? What are we talking about? Going to church? Like, what's going on?
Did we switch topics? Like,
Hi Onyx fam, welcome to The Onyx Life, where change comes with challenge. Every episode we take you on a journey moving you from the struggle life to the Onyx life, creating happy homes, financial empires, and exploring the lighter side of life. My name is Murthel.
And I'm Rita. Today we're going to be talking about motivation, how to keep yourself motivated, and also patterns that keep you unmotivated.
So I think that we have this topic today because we're kind of feeling unmotivated sometimes.
And yeah, that's right, folks. I know I've been on a run lately of feeling like self-doubt and all these other negative things. I thought we'd do one more about how to motivate yourself.
How do you get going? How do you like jumpstart? You know, when your car just needs a jumpstart, or when you just need a pep in your step? Well, that's what we're talking about today, because sometimes I think that sometimes after you have reached a certain level of success and you don't like, for instance, okay, one of the motivators, there are like six motivators out there, the six common motivators. Mm-hmm. And one of them is money and reward. Okay. Let's just start with the obvious, money and reward. A lot of people, they will be motivated when they know they're going to get a reward. Mm-hmm. And money is probably one of the biggest motivators. It's sort of like, hey, how much am I going to get paid for this job? Oh, really? Okay. Well, you know, I'll take it. And then they just like really work hard because they're going to get money and they're going to get this reward. Well, what if you have a lot of money now and you don't necessarily like, you're not in poverty. You're not in need. Because you have enough money. And we could always have more money. Yes, everybody can have more money. And because there's always more needs.
Right.
But I'm just saying that at some given point in time, I think everyone kind of hits that road where if money was a motivator and you needed it desperately to get through a particular thing and you got through that particular thing, then now it's sort of like, how do you go to that next level? Well, you need to assess. What are some other things that have been motivators in your life? What motivates you? What do you get up in the morning for? If it's money, great. But then what if you need something more than money?
Well, for the longest time for me, I wanted freedom. Freedom to wake up when I wanted to. Freedom to work on the days that I wanted to work. Freedom to vacation when I wanted to vacation. And also, freedom not to be in situations that I felt uncomfortable with.
Right.
See, when I was working as a nurse practitioner, I had a job, one of my many jobs I had with that. One of them was going from house to house. And as anybody who's been a fan of the podcast for a while knows, I don't do well with dogs I don't know. I barely do well with dogs I do know. When I had two dogs for that few years that we had them, I loved them. I wasn't scared of them, not one bit. But I said bit, like ironically, they never bit me though. Well, actually one nipped at me, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, I was not scared. But as soon as like I didn't have dogs anymore, the fear started coming back up. And now it takes an extraordinary amount of time and effort for me to get comfortable with a dog that I don't know. Mm-hmm. So going from home to home was just ridiculous for me because I had to keep going to homes where they had dogs. And there was other things like people with knives out or guns out. There was all of that too. But when you have a certain phobia, that's the one that sticks out in you. That's the one. I never called anybody and said, hey, do you have a gun? No. I would call people before my appointment and say, do you have a dog? And it got to the point where I would say, okay, Well, you know, I had to make up a policy. I made up my own policy. And I said, we have a policy that when we come to your home, that you must have your pet put away either in their crate or in another room.
You just started making up stuff.
I started making it up because nobody was protecting me, not the company, nothing. And for me, I just feel that as a pet owner, you should not assume. And that's what I would do with my pets. When I had the dogs, anybody that came over, we put them away. We put them in their crate because we were not going to, number one, put someone in an uncomfortable position. And you can never guess with pets. You can never guess. I don't care if somebody tells me, no, but not my dog. I don't care.
They'll just nip you to death.
Right.
Well, don't put death in any sentence. Right. Either lick you to death. I don't want to be anything to death.
You don't know my experience with dogs. You don't know that I've had a fear from the time I was a child and I was chased by I can't even count how many dogs because I would unfortunately run when I shouldn't have run. And I know that the dogs are probably chasing, but it didn't just like playing, but it didn't feel like playing to me. I would cry and I would run. So my point is when I would go home, I hated having to feel like I was dealing with a dog every single time, a dog that I didn't know. And then in this one particular area, it was like everybody there had one of those big, vicious dogs. And I was like, why is this area so full of this dog? I don't get it.
Well, so to me, I'm thinking, so what motivates you sounded like it was money.
Yep.
And the reward. And the reward was freedom and autonomy. Freedom to be able to not have to do things someone else's way.
Yeah, but you said money. At that point in time, I was even over the money. Right. I was in such a state mentally and emotionally from having to go every single day. I was going from like 10 homes a day and I did not know what situation I was going to be in. Who was going to have what? So before we move on, another thing I started to make up, and I'm sorry, but this is just what I had to do. I started telling people I was allergic to dogs because I felt there was more sympathy. When I just said, oh, there's a policy, I got so many people up in arms. Why?
Well, I want to fight this policy.
He's part of my family. And
you have a policy against my dog.
Like, you can't do that for an hour? Come on. Mm-hmm. It's just politeness. I know, like, I'm starting to get riled up here because I was so frustrated.
Right. And I want to keep Rita on track right now because because we're talking about motivation.
So mad.
Not dogs.
But no, I was motivated though just to have be in a situation where I could control my environment.
Right. And then so when they say the first motivation that is common is money and reward, the reward can be, like you said, freedom and autonomy. Your freedom to be able to make choices. And now that you have the freedom to not have to go out and be with dogs, or the autonomy to be able to make your own decisions and truly make your own policy, not just make it up and then pretend like it's the company's policy.
Right?
So
the irony was I was allergic to cats, but I never told anybody to put away their cat.
I think this money and rewards is definitely probably one of the biggest. And that's why they have it as the number one, because who does not want freedom and autonomy? Even if you're not money obsessed, everybody needs money. But even if you're not money obsessed, everybody wants the reward of autonomy.
Exactly, because I've seen so many people arrive. Arrive financially at whatever goal they want, and that turns out not to be enough for them.
Right.
So you see big bankers leaving their job. And I remember this one guy, he teaches surfing in like South America now.
Right.
And they're like, why are you doing this? You are making so much money.
But because money can't be everything.
It's not. It's money really can't
be
not. Everything.
So there has to be other things. So the first one was money and reward. But then, like Rita just said, sometimes money is just not enough. And what happens after you have achieved enough money where you will always have freedom and autonomy because you have so much money? Now, what makes you wake up in the morning? You have to go beyond that now.
Mm-hmm.
Because now that's it. And that's what we're talking about here, because there could be many things that are demotivating you. There could be many things that are, you know, that are roadblocks in progressing forward and having the same fire in the morning when it's time to get up and go. And so we just want to explore that today. So the second one, and I just want to test this out, like, how do you feel about this? Because I know that you can resonate with money and reward,
mm-hmm.
But how do you feel about this one? Desire to be the best. That's number two, they said. Desire to be the best. Because you know that there's a lot of people that are like that. Like, I mean, when you are like Usain Bolt and you have been practicing the whole time, your entire life, to run this thing, like, nothing but first place is going to do. Like, you can't be second place. No one remembers second place. It has to be first place, especially in the Olympics. Like, there is no room for not being the best. So I imagine that people that can resonate with this are people that are sports players. Like, you made it to the finals, great, but you gotta get the ring. Like, you know, that's the bottom line. But maybe is there any space for this one outside of sports? Or is that just being jealous? And is that just being like
competitive? No, everybody wants like the number one. You want to be the number one bakery in town, or you want to be the best barber, you know, or you want to be the whatever it is. I know that for me, there's two things that it reminds me of. I remember when I was growing up, and we would have the time where the spelling bee would come around, and I would always get to like the top two, but for some reason I would self-sabotage myself. Because I did not want to go to the spelling bee. Not because I was lazy, but at that point in time, I would say, whoa, I can't do this. Everyone would be looking at me to bring home this award, and I would literally sabotage myself.
Like, you would spell it.
Yeah, I would intentionally spell it wrong.
Wow.
And it would happen every single year. And the teachers were just like, Rita, are you sure you don't know this word? Nope, I really don't know how to spell though. T-H-O-H or something. I don't know what it was, but they were like, I think you're doing this on purpose. Nope.
But that's the thing. There are negative motivations, and so we're gonna kinda go in between and kinda talk about both of them at the same time as we're going through this list. But what you just described there was fear of success.
Right.
And I would honestly say fear of failure too, because it's sort of like,
you don't mind failing. It's a lot on my
shoulders. Right. You don't mind failing like in round like three, but you don't want to fail in round one where it's just you and the other person.
Yeah.
And it's now like, who is the best?
Right.
And that word, like, who is the best? It can be very intimidating to people that their motivation is not competition, not to be the best. Clearly, that can't be one of your motivators, or else you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't self-sabotage like that.
Well, I'll tell you this. If you ever get into YouTube, don't have that mentality. There is so much that is out of your control on the platform. So many factors as to why some people get numbers and you don't. That if you go on there saying, I'm going to be number one. I'm going to be the best.
Right.
It's not in your control, and you will be disappointed. And I think that it's actually a good place for even our children and us too, to actually settle with being content where we are.
Right.
And try to be the best that we can be
for ourselves,
but not the best overall, because there's too many factors.
Well, if you're a competitive person, you know, you really want to be mindful of, you know, this particular one, because you cannot desire to be the best in YouTube.
Right.
Because of all the algorithms and of all those things, like, you cannot, that cannot be the thing that you put out there. But what are your thoughts about competition? Can there be healthy or unhealthy competition? Like, what?
Yeah.
When does it cross over and become unhealthy? Like, if you're competitive because you want to be number one, we're saying here that that is okay. Well, then what makes it not okay? When does it not become okay?
You know, I think that when you're looking at your competitor, and I think that when you lose sight of what your mission is, and you just want to best your competitor, but not necessarily do what you're supposed to be doing on your path or your lane. I don't know. It's like we have colleagues who are on YouTube right now, but our colleagues, no one is exactly alike. But if we were to compete with them and say, you know what, I could do that same challenge better, or I can do that same thing better, we would actually stray away from who we are supposed to be on there and we wouldn't be our best. So I guess to me, competition for at least what we're doing is healthy in the sense where you want to be creative and you're inspired by other people. But when you want to do exactly what they're doing, and in order to beat them, I got to beat them and I got to get better number than them. And then I think it becomes unhealthy. But I think if you're a runner, it's different. If you're a runner and the person is almost like on your heel, you got it. Like, there is no like, I'm just going to be my best. Like, there is no number one for your best. It's like you have to be the best. But
hold on a second. Hold on a second. Can it be your best? Because honestly, like if you cannot. Yeah,
but there's no gold unless you're one of those teams where everybody gets a ribbon.
No, but I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like if it is impossible for you to get, let's just say 8.99. And there's a guy that has superior abilities and longer legs and everything like that. And he gets 8.99. And your best was so far from that, even though you're doing very well. And then you ran it and you ran it even better than your own time. Can't you walk away and just be like, listen, I did my best. Like, I literally did my best.
Well, I think there is a category for that. I think it is personal best.
Right.
And that's fine.
Because if you don't, if you're not settled, if you did not put your all in, you know that you did not cheat on your diet. You know you did not cheat on your training. You know that you did everything possible. And you actually beat your best time running your best race. If you walk away and you're like super disappointed because some other guy actually has superior abilities, then I think that you've just cheated yourself. And then that's well, where
a context I feel it, though.
I feel what happens in situations like that is where people want to start taking drugs and stuff and they want to cheat just so that they can be the best. Because I like what you actually said. If competition is doing your best and somebody beat you, then you have to be able to stand up and just say, you know what? You're the better man. You know what? It was my... Too bad that I was born in an era of a great person like yourself who clearly has all the biological and everything abilities that I just don't have. I'm shorter and I just don't have it. Because if you don't do it that way and if you're not proud of your effort, then you're going to be the person that goes and takes drugs so that you can beat that person just so you get the medal. And I don't agree with that kind of competition. I think that is unhealthy.
At the same time, that the context is, though, if you're in the Olympics and you're going for gold, they're not giving you a gold for your personal best.
Okay, then what you're going to end up happening is you're going to be praying for someone to fall. Or you're going to be praying for their failure. And that's like, oh my goodness. Like, you won not necessarily because you're the best, but you won because someone failed. Or you won because you took drugs. Like, at some given point in time, you have to just be able to say, I did my best and I didn't get the gold because that person was better. And I think that if we live our life that way, then I truly believe that we can eliminate things like jealousies and things, because it's like can only be who you are. Right. You can only be you.
Right.
And I think that's when competition becomes unhealthy, when we stray too far away from being your best and now you just want to be the best, even if it means someone else's demise, where someone is actually better than you, but you want something to happen to make them fail. And I don't agree with that. Mm. And no. I think that, you know, there's too many people in the world, too many businesses that are looking ways to undercut people. Look at that girl, Tanya Harding, who like knocked the girl in her knee just so that she can get the gold because she knew she was not better than her.
Like, right. That was an excellent movie, though, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Remember? If you guys ever get the chance to watch that movie, it is really good.
What was
good
that
movie.
Called again?
I don't know. I can't remember. Tanya Harding. Whatever and, it is. And what's the other Tanya Harding and
Nancy Kerrigan,
right?
I can remember her name, but I can't remember the movie. Oh, I, Tanya. That's what it was.
I, Tanya. That
was a really good
movie. It was good. You know why that movie was good? Because they explained behind the scenes things that we did not know. Like, I didn't know a lot of those things.
Of course, I don't buy all of those reasons. Like, she had no clue. I don't know about that.
Right. So the first one was money and rewards. The second one is desire to be the best. Mm-hmm. I think we both agree that desire to be the best, really, if you want to put it in its more healthy context, desire to be your best, mm-hmm. or else you get yourself in trouble. Mm-hmm. So number three that they have is helping others. How much of that goes on in your day when it, like, you're waking up in the morning and that's a major, is that like a major thing that says, I need to help other people.
No.
So I'm going to just be driven to help them.
This is going to sound really sad. And I'm not here to be fake, people. I'm not here to be fake in front of you. But this is going to sound really sad. When you said helping people, all of a sudden I said, wait, what are we talking about?
Are we talking about motivation here? What are we talking about?
What are we talking about?
Going to church? Like, what's going on?
Did we switch topics? Like, I'm so
sad.
Oh,
snap.
I literally did not know, like, wait, what?
Because we're talking about motivation, right? Okay, so hold on. Money,
be the best. Like, helping others.
Like, what? Brr.
Like, that's something I do on the side. Like, no, seriously.
No, you like to help other people.
I like to help
Rita
others.
Rita does like to help other people.
I do.
But I totally get it. It's not a part of your personality. Just knowing you, being married to you for 20 years, it's not your personality to put that in the level of, this gets me up in the morning. It's one of the things that when I am up in the morning,
I will
help other people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Rita, that's Rita. I am up. I'm on my two feet. I'm going to help you. But it's not like, you know what? This person needs help. I got to get up.
And the funny thing is, you're the exact opposite.
I am.
Literally.
Money will not get
you up in the morning. If Myrtle has to do something for himself, even if it meant he got the gold medal and a $10 million award, I would still have to be like, hun, you should probably get up. But if he knew that, oh, today I'm going to help so-and-so and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, he would jump out of bed. And I'm not saying that to be like, I'm worse and he's so good and all that.
All we're talking about, we're just talking about how we're wired.
We're not wired that way. But the thing is this, guys, if we were both wired that way, we wouldn't be where we are. But if we were both wired my way, I don't know if we would help as many people as we did.
And we wouldn't be as well-rounded. And I love the way we are. I mean, just imagine our family if both of us was me. Like, we would be eating, like, we were. We were, like, eating potatoes when I was just a pastor. And I was just like, I was not doing anything to necessarily advance us further so that our family would be able to have all that we have right now. That was your drive. That was your passion, your ambition to be able to have more. And so it's like, I think we work very well together. I think God has paired two individuals, two human beings together that works well together so that we can accomplish a more holistic lifestyle.
Yeah.
The Onyx life really is about all of that combined.
Right, right. It's difficult, but I think helping others, you feel so good when you're able to. And we have like an event coming up in December, and it's like a way to give back and to just kind of meet people who have been supporting us, and we are super excited for that.
So excited. And I'm driven, yeah, let's do this, let's do that.
Oh yeah.
I'm organizing, connecting mm-hmm. the dots and doing everything, and it's just like,
but
it energizes me.
Right. And let me kind of just explain real quick why I am the way I am, especially now that we are where we are. One of the reasons why I get tired out by helping people is not because I don't like to help people, but it's because I have found that since we have tried to help people a certain way, they in general do not like to take the help that I have for them. They ask me a question, and then when they go back to do it, they decide, like, nah, I'm going to do it my way. And that's fine. Everybody has the ability to do things their way.
Mm-hmm.
But then they, on the flip side, tell me like what I said didn't work. But you didn't do what I said.
Right. They wanted to do it their way.
And then some people want help, but I don't believe it's real help. Some people want a handout.
Right.
But it's not really help. They just kind of couch it like, hey, can you help me with this? But it's really like, can you do it for me?
And for me and Rita, like, we really like to help people, but what we consider help, other people may not consider it help because it still requires work on your part. It still requires, like, what we do is we'll invest in people. Mm-hmm. And investment means that there's still a risk to be taken and there's still work to be done and there's still, you know what I mean? It's not a handout. And a handout, oftentimes, what we found when we were, you know, early in the game, when we would just give a handout thinking that we're helping, we actually weren't.
That's right.
And people would like be ready for the next handout and the next one. And almost like being upset at the fact that, you know, almost like you're beholden to them now.
Right.
It's almost like God. Like you go to God and at some given point in time, it can become very blurry. Who is God in the relationship? You know, you get on your knees and you start asking and you're expecting now. And all of a sudden now, like, the relationship between God and man is no longer like, how can I be there for you, Savior who died on the cross for me, who gave his life for me so that I can give my all to you? It almost starts to become like, you know, I need you to do this, I need you to do that. And he becomes a Santa Claus.
Right.
He becomes like, now you're God and he is your servant. And he's going to like, okay, I have my list of my prayers here. I need you to answer, sir.
That's right.
You know, when are you going to do it? And how long is it going to take? Because I don't have the time. And it's just like, so I feel like that's how people come to you when you start giving handouts. It's like almost like they intrinsically believe that they deserve it. And if you don't do it the next time, that somehow you're a bad friend or you're a bad person or you're not a good person. And they start judging you. And it's just like, wow.
Right. Or some people who they just start and then they go, okay, can you help me? Like, they don't do any research for themselves. No, they want you to do
the whole thing.
They want you to just like, I don't know, whatever. But
and investing and helping people is an opportunity for to help a person to grow so that they'll be able to get to the place where they need to be. So helping others is, you know, it's a tricky thing. It really is a tricky thing. And I can see how, you know, Rita could get frustrated. For me, it just seems to be something that is so intrinsic to my nature that inside of me there's a little bit more patience in the whole process because for some reason I just have a lot of pleasure in this one, and it definitely motivates me. So let's go with number four, power and fame. I don't know if I mean I feel like you could resonate probably a little bit more with power, but not fame. You've never really wanted to be in the spotlight. You never really want to be
seen. But I
want to
be powerful?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say you want to be powerful, but I think that you see the value in being in control.
And I think it's because I'm a control freak.
Right, but I feel as though control is connected to power, and I feel like you would resonate more with the idea of power than fame, and power in the sense that you know what you're good at, you know what you have to contribute, and you would rather it be in your hands to get it done. It's almost like Michael Jordan, okay? Michael Jordan wants the ball in his hands at the end of the game. He doesn't want it in somebody else's hands. He's very confident in what he can do in the last few seconds of a game when it's crunch time. So he's not going to pass it off. Mm-hmm. He wants... And I would associate that with power. Like, he wants the power. He wants to be, because he knows what he can do. And I feel like, if anything, you would resonate. I'm not saying that you want power, but if there was one out of the two of those connected, I feel like you would resonate more with power.
It's true. I really don't care to be in the spotlight. Like we had shared before, it's because of advice that was given to us about creating more of a family type channel, why I even started getting in front of the camera.
Right.
I never started like that. I always set up everything more when it comes to our YouTube business. I had always set it up where it was going to be really for the kids, and I would be doing everything on the back end. So being on camera is not really like my favorite thing to do, not just because, oh, like I'm camera shy, because there's that too, but it's more like I'm realistic here. I'm not trying to start some acting career right now, you know?
That's for our children. That's just not me. Like, our children have a future in the acting world.
Right, in front of the camera. Because they're young
and they have many years of influencing their audience. And their audience kind of following them, their generation.
Right.
I find it, you know, interesting and funny when, you know, adults at a later age in life are trying to tap into this newfound desire for fame.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it's like, I'm not saying anything is wrong with that, because if you have a gift, you have a gift, and if that's your gift, that's your gift. But especially if you've been like for years wanting it, but you just haven't had the opportunity.
Right.
But when somebody just discovers themselves, and it's they're in a tricky spot, because nobody's really looking for somebody at a certain age. Mm-hmm. Once you pass a certain age,
Yeah, it's true.
You know, and you're new on the scene.
Right.
It's not that easy. And I don't want anyone to give up that is in that category that I'm talking about. It's just tricky. That's all I'm saying. It's really tricky. Right.
And for me, though, now, does that mean if someone said, Rita, we want you to be on Real Housewives of whatever city that I'm in. Because most of those women are actually older than me. They're either around my age, but a lot of them are older than me.
Mm-hmm.
But that means that they actually started to get famous around this age. And I'm not saying that in a situation where there's a show and it's catered to women of my age that I would say, let's say, no to, unless it's something where I have to be totally fake and have fake drama. And, you know, like, I just use it as an example of a show. I'm just talking about a show created for women of a certain age. That's different. That would be something where I could use it to leverage my brand. That would be smart to do.
Right.
I wouldn't be doing it, though, for like, oh, yay, I'm going to be famous. No,
right.
That's just not where my head is at. I've never really felt that.
But there is a lot of people that's what gets them up in the morning. And that's what makes them say, I need to be more famous. I need to be more well known. I need to, you know, I need to be more powerful. I need to be in a position where I have more leverage to get my idea or to have my brand or whatever. They really want power. And I have to admit that I didn't realize the nature of that beast of power until I was removed from power when I left ministry. Power means in this respect is not so much power, but leadership. Always being in a role of leadership for such a long time in my life, having that role of leadership, when I stepped away from ministry, from pastoral ministry, and not being the pastor and not being in that direct role of leadership where there are so many things that depended on my decision making and my guidance, it really let me stop and say, whoa, this element in my life has been so preeminent and now it's gone. And there was a time period of grieving that, grieving leadership, you know, and being very sensitive. And I remember we started getting into a lot of arguments based on me desiring to find what can I lead now? You know what I mean? And I was super sensitive, like even to the point where I was super sensitive with you and the things that you were leading because you were finding yourself, you were getting really passionate about your career and you were really good at what you do when it comes to YouTube and really good at business. And so folks, it was really difficult for me because now I stepped away from my career and then now I'm at home and so many things cross over in our home when it comes to like the business. Like when you're a YouTuber, like almost every decision that you make in the house can interconnect with YouTube or whatever the business is, if your family is working as a family. So if we have to film at a certain time, if we have to film certain things, if we have to do certain things, so many elements of that, Rita would have to be making the decisions so that everything stays cohesive and everything is running smooth. And I am here grieving leadership and making decisions and having that critical element. It was really, really tough for me to get through that time period. And I realized that one of the things that motivated me was probably power through leadership. And so it was, I went through a very difficult time.
Mm-hmm. I remember that time. It was rough.
It was very rough. And I never thought of myself as somebody that would compete with Rita. I always felt secure in my role in the home. And I feel like I felt very insecure trying to find my role. And now I find that now I have become very comfortable. I've become very comfortable in exploring other roles that are not always leadership. So there's areas where I can lead in. Mm-hmm. And then there's areas where I am now comfortable in actually following or assisting or being in a partnership where Rita would even more lead. And I gotta tell you, it was a difficult journey to get here. But now that I'm here, I am very comfortable with my newfound roles.
Yeah. Because it was funny. Even today, you were like, hun, why don't you hand? There's this other part of the business that we're just starting. And he's like, why don't you hand this to me? Just, he's laughing because he knows what I'm about to say. So I was like,
because she's overwhelmed. She's taking on a lot. So I was like, you know, give it to me. I'll take it. You know what? You go and you do you. And I'll do this. And it's sort of like there is this video that me and Rita laugh at all the time. And we reference it all the time. It's a video of this lady. She's overweight. She's big.
She's a big girl.
She's a big girl. And you could tell that probably in her past life, she was into gymnastics. Maybe when she was like a little bit bitty girl, where she was the, you know, maybe soaking wet. She was like maybe 30 pounds, like, you know, back in the day, in the back day.
Right.
Okay. And in those days, she was doing cartwheels, clearly, you know, just thinking, oh, I'm going to do a cartwheel. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do like a tumble flip, you know, stand on my hands, you know, those days. Anyhow, so she's like getting prepared because she sees all these little girls doing it. And she's like, you know, she's like, oh, back in the day, I could do this. So she's like going to show them. She's going to show them that she can still do it. Folks, it's a prime example of when you're an adult.
Yes.
What you have in your head does not always translate anymore. Like, nope. It used to, like, in your head, you think you can still do that thing, but you just can't. Folks, I can't even paint the words, the picture to tell you what happened next when she went into her round off.
Trying to do a round off. It was supposed to be a cartwheel.
Like a cartwheel. And it just, I can't even explain it to you because
words can't express.
It did not happen at all.
Her elbows just collapsed.
It just as soon as she put her hand down, it just collapsed. And it was just horrible, folks.
Because it was like, it couldn't hold her weight, man.
I don't even know if she even got to that point because I think that she went on her knees first almost. Like she.
No, it looked like she did.
On the hands, but it just collapsed.
Because it just collapsed.
And she just went flat on her face. Yeah. And then it just, her body like twisted over and almost wrenched her neck. Like it was just
and
like.
And all her, well, I don't even know if they were her friends, but whoever was around.
They were dying.
They were just, their tears were coming down their face.
Tears.
I saw it.
And you know what? They knew it. That's why they pulled out the camera because they knew it. They knew what was about to happen.
So true.
The only person that did not know what was going to happen was her because she thought in her brain, she replayed her doing it as a little kid. Well, anyhow, I said all that to say this, that I really thought like, I'm going to help Rita. I'm going to do this. Rita, I got you. I got you. And then Rita started explaining everything I had to do. I'm like, you know what? You know what? Do you want me to rub your feet while you do it? Like, yes. What can I do to help you out? Can I fix you a meal right now while you're doing it?
That was so like, funny.
What can we do right now so that I can help you? I'm not doing that.
Myrtle pulled out his computer. He was about to type. Okay, Rita, just tell me. Just go ahead. You know, let me take this off of your plate. Just tell me what we have to do. And like he said, I started saying, okay, well, with this is what we've done. This is what's left to do.
Right.
And you have to, and every single step required like sub steps. Like it's intricate, people. There's a lot of stuff to do.
Right.
And I just saw Myrtle stop typing and he just looked at me like, this is not going to work.
Listen, if you think that I'm going to do a cartwheel right now in front of you and make you laugh at me, I ain't going to do it.
Anyhow,
So power, you know, that is something that motivates people as well. They want to be able to have more power, more influence. Another one is recognition. Now, you know, how much of that plays into you getting up in the morning?
I like recognition.
I do too.
I like that. I like when people say, you're the best, or you're so good at this,
or
I appreciate you're so good at that.
I appreciate that you did that, or you were able to help me in that.
Right.
Like recognition is definitely.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah,
and it's not just recognition like make me feel important. No, it's more like
appreciated almost.
If it's appreciated,
right?
Or
I feel like
or recognized for a talent. Mm-hmm. Anytime someone writes the girls in Shiloh.
And says,
you guys are the best, or you guys are so funny, or you guys are.
You picked me up and you made me feel so good today. My kids, like they really, when they watch your show, like you really make their day. Like stuff like that, like recognition like that. I'm not even talking about like I don't need my name in a building.
Right,
I don't need like a bench or something in church that has my name on it. Like I don't need that kind of recognition.
But I do like for example, I started writing, and I have other books coming out for adults, but I started writing in the children's genre, and I saw one of the reviews, and it was a woman that's like, great story. In fact, I had a little kid who wrote me, and she was like, oh, wow. I love your books. And so wow. that kind of recognition made me go, wow, okay, I really like this. Right. Last week, we had an important meeting, and there was important people, and they were saying how much they really enjoyed what our kids yeah. were doing.
Like somebody like high up in the media world that I mean, our kids grew up watching their stuff. Like we grew up watching some of the stuff right. and it's just, wow. Like that person had a meeting with us, wanted to talk to us, wants to work with us. And it's just right. like, whoa.
And it's just like that kind of recognition it's amazing. So it's an amazing feeling. So absolutely. Yes, that for sure will get me out of bed.
Right, right. And so the next one, beyond recognition, and it's like I'm putting acknowledgement in there with recognition yeah. in a sense, because like I said, I don't need you to make a street after me. But
if you want to, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'll take it. But I'm just saying, like, that's not what I'm doing it for. I'm not waking up in the morning and saying, I'm getting out of bed because I need a street named after me. But when I hear someone say, I've made a difference in their life, mm-hmm. then yes, you know, that kind of recognition and that kind of acknowledgement means a little bit more to me than the other one. And I'm not making a judgment on it. I'm just saying that that's who I am. And that's, you know, that's what makes me up. And the last one is passion. Mm. Passion. And passion is to say, this is what you're zero focused on. Like passion is that thing that just you wake up and you're just like, this is what I'm passionate about. Like I love this. And for me, that passion that I have is for the family. Not just my own family, my own wife, my own marriage, my own children, but just passion for the institution of family, passion for this institution that God has created from the beginning, to say, I want society to run, and I want it to run off of this model, this blueprint, where a man and a woman come together and they love one another, and through that love they have children, and through their nurturing of their children and their investment and partnering together of their children, society becomes a more stable place, because you have done your job and being loving your neighbor as you love yourself. And all of these principles really matter to me, and it's a driving passion for me. So when I create a skit, when I'm doing anything, if it has anything to do with family, you're gonna get me more excited, you're gonna get me talking with more vigor, because that's what matters to me. So passion plays a huge role.
Yes, for me, I love what I do right now. I love being an entrepreneur. I love looking at different ways to grow our business, different things to get into. And it's not just about money making, but I love the whole field of trying new things and being your own boss. So it's like a combination of the power and the money, but and the recognition, but also just the passion I have to make sure that we can continue to call our own shots during the day, to continue to have a certain amount of money that we go for, and not necessarily that, you know, I am being told, it doesn't matter what you do, you're only making this. Like, mm-hmm. I like to have more control over things. So the passion that I have, because some people, I know this, and this is just fine, entrepreneurship is not for them.
Right.
They would rather something more structured.
Work for someone else. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you like structure and you like when, you know, you like to just know that I don't have to deal with all the back end things like administration, because a lot of that stuff takes up a lot of my time on a weekly basis. It really mm-hmm. does. It takes up a lot of time to just do all the things that I never used to have to do as just an employee. But now I have to look up things that and because this everything is always new to me, I have to look up everything. Sometimes I have to take a quick course in it and then move. So it takes a lot out of me. And that's why sometimes I'm like, Martha, I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
But I definitely have a passion for it. And I doubt I would have stuck in there this long if I didn't have the kind of passion that you need. Because entrepreneurship, you have so many ups and so many downs. And so many times we have self-doubt, And sometimes it creeps on you at the weirdest times. Sometimes you're just fine with a person, and then all of a sudden, right, that person's like, great, I love what you're doing, I believe in you. And then all of a sudden, now you're like, wait, what? Oh boy, now I gotta deliver. You know, it's just, it's this crazy thing.
And the funny thing about self-doubt can just take out the motivation out of somebody's, like the wind out of your breath. Mm-hmm. It really can. And so we're talking about all these things that get you up in the morning, whether it was money and reward, whether it was a desire to be the best, whether it, mm-hmm, was helping others, whether it was power or fame or recognition or passion. So these things get you up out of bed and you're like, I'm ready to go. But then nothing like these demotivators, negative motivation patterns that can really get you. And we talked about one of them, which was fear of failure, fear of success. And then you just mentioned another one, which is self-doubt. When you start doubting yourself, these things can just cripple you. And so you started off well, you know, on your journey. And then all of a sudden now you're finding that you're tired. You're finding that you're procrastinating. You're finding that you're not getting things done. And you're wondering why. I'm passionate. I still want this. Mm-hmm. It's these negative motivators. And so you got to really be careful of these things. And you got to, you know, get your mind in the right frame so that you will not lose your standing.
That's right. That's right.
You know, another one is guilt and self-blame. They say that if you are frozen in the conviction that you are bad or have let others down, you will naturally feel unmotivated to pursue your daily life because you're constantly going to be feeling like, I'm just not good enough. I'm a wreck, like, and I'm a wreck in everybody's life. So I, you know what? Maybe I should just stand back. Let somebody else do it when you're the one that needs to do it. Like, because
nowhere have I seen that as prevalent as I have seen it in YouTubers. Mm-hmm. They are constantly feeling that they are bad, that they blame themselves when they don't get a lot of views. They blame themselves when the audience turns on them. They blame themselves when YouTube decides to do an algorithm change. It's a lot of guilt and blame because all of a sudden the income goes down and now it's like, oh, what did I do? I knew, right, I shouldn't have done this, or I knew I shouldn't have done that. And there's so much that's out of our control. It's really sad, right, that we put it so much on our shoulders as if it's us.
It's true. It's so true.
Or
but,
all us.
But that is some of it. Is part us. Of the things that you can't listen to the criticism. You cannot keep your ear to what people are saying. First of all, they don't have your vision and they don't ultimately know what you're about. So, you know, don't let somebody else quarterback or coach your own life. You got to coach your own life.
When these studios make their movies, mm-hmm, and they make their TV shows, the only thing that you can do as a viewer is you either watch it or you don't.
Right. Because they're not asking questions.
Because they have a critic. But even the critics are counting less and less and less now. Because there are tons of movies, tons of shows that are, you know, even in the movie theaters, but also on Netflix and all these other places. And they're finding a home and they're finding an audience.
That's right.
They could have a 10% on Rotten Tomatoes. And then somebody it will still take off. Like, right, yes, I have to see this. And it'll be like a cult classic all of a sudden.
Look, I can't stand the critics sometimes because they oftentimes have an agenda.
Right.
And they gravitate towards certain films that fit their agenda. So right. I don't even watch those anymore.
Right.
I watch more the audience. And it's not, right, even like, I don't watch an audience in a way like, ooh, well, if, you know, 90% right, of people like it, then it's definitely going to be good. I still watch it with a grain of salt, but for the most part, like, I think that if you get 97% of people saying this is great,
yeah,
you're probably going to enjoy some element of it.
Right.
You really are, but I don't always follow everything.
But my point is that when they make those things, they didn't consult you before they made that show.
No, they really didn't
consult you before they put the next Marvel out. More, you know, like, they just did it. They went off of their creativity. They went off of what they approved and greenlighted. And you didn't get a say.
That's right.
So what happens with YouTubers, though, they let the audience dictate a lot of their content.
That's right.
Do you guys like this? What do you guys think now? What do you guys want to see?
I know.
And it's just like, stop.
Stop.
Just be creative.
Don't bring that person in, right, in the business.
Exactly.
They're not a part of the team. This is not a team meeting. You know,
right,
they're not a part of the team. You got to just give it to them, and who likes it, and who doesn't. So there's another thing, perfectionism.
Well, that's kind of like what you said about being the best, right?
Well, this is one of the negative things that can take away from your motivation, perfectionism. you defeat yourself with inappropriate goals and standards. Where you're, and then you have a low frustration tolerance when your frustration results, the frustration results from your habit of comparing reality with an ideal in your head. And when the two don't match, you condemn reality. It doesn't occur to you that it may be infinitely easier to change your expectation rather than to bend and twist reality. And that's the thing. Like, sometimes we just come up with these things that are just like not real, but it's our ideal.
I read an article a long time ago that said the whole idea of perfectionism is actually false because no one really lives up to it. And so when people say, I'm a perfectionist, usually they are so not.
They're out of touch.
Because you could literally look in their life and say, no, because if you were a perfectionist, this and this and this and this and this would all be in order. And it's not.
And it's not. But the thing about it is that people like to use that, especially when they go to like a job interview, like,
what's your greatest weakness? I'm a perfectionist.
I don't know. I'm a perfectionist. Like, I just really, just stop. Right. But that one definitely can really hinder your progress, because if you're not in touch with the reality and you're not being real, a lot of times the change that you need happens gradually and it happens in increments. And so you need to get comfortable with whatever the pace of that thing, that there's a natural ebb and flow of how something is supposed to kind of work itself out. And if you don't get in tune with the rule that governs that thing that you're trying to accomplish, and you're trying to like circumvent that, and you're trying to do some kind of shortcut or whatever, and it's not real, it's not in touch with reality, you're going to frustrate yourself.
You know, I think that a better word for perfectionism is that you just have an ideal in your head that you want to hit, or you want to create, you want to get to, and sometimes it's a little bit out of your reach at the time.
At the time.
Doesn't mean it will always be, but maybe at the time it will be right now. So anyway.
So these are some of the things that can really frustrate you, and you have to learn how you can work around it. So here are some key takeaways in this particular article. Mm-hmm. They share some key takeaways. And so one of these is add a buffer for tolerance in your day-to-day. And what they mean by that is, rather than get frustrated when things go wrong, ask yourself how you might avoid it the next time. For example, if you're always late because you get stuck in traffic, leave earlier. When things go wrong, learn from them. Don't get frustrated. So, you know, a lot of times people have like a very low tolerance for mistakes. No. Learn from your mistakes. You're going to have problems in your day. Don't look at problems as something that is, oh no, it should never happen. No, actually look at problems like, of course problems are going to come in my day.
Right.
So that you don't get frustrated by problems. It's sort of like a problem comes, and if you are not realistic that problems are a part of life, then you are going to get, like, you're almost setting yourself up for failure. Because what's going to happen is if you don't expect problems, then what you're going to do is when the problem arises, it's going to throw your game off completely. You're going to be like, oh my goodness, this unfair thing is happening. I have a problem.
Right.
This
right.
is so unfair. And I'm so frustrated.
Right. You
and
fall to like, pieces at the problem.
It's like, hold on a second. You got things to do. Are you serious that you didn't accommodate for problems?
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Then the bigger you get, the bigger your problems.
So you thought that when you got bigger, that your problems wouldn't be bigger?
Remember that, was it Biggie's album, Mo Money, Mo Problems?
Right.
I don't remember.
I don't
know who said it. Somebody said it. Anyway.
Well, we're having a problem with our memory today. And you know what? I accommodate for that. Anyhow, test your assumptions. The next thing is test your assumptions. So you have all these things going on in your head. Don't talk yourself out of everything. Prove it with action. And many times you'll be pleasantly surprised. So, you know, test your assumptions. The things that are rolling around in your head, don't just accept it. Don't accept it as truth. Hold on a second. Why am I saying that I can't do this? Why am I? No, test it. I guess that kind of goes along with change your self-talk. So you can beat yourself up or you can lift yourself up. Turn mistakes into lessons and carry forward lessons learned.
Right. But don't let anybody else talk you out of something, too.
True.
So you can talk yourself out of something, but there are some things that even we're starting that I think some people, like most people don't even know about it, but I let in a couple of people and they were trying to talk us out of it. And I think that either they saw other people try it and they said, nah, this doesn't work. And another person said, well, I don't see how that's going to be successful because dot, dot, dot. And when we start announcing these new projects, we'll get into the whys and the whats of what we're exactly talking about. But what I'm saying is that if I listened, then they would have talked me out of it. Does that automatically mean that it's going to be a success? No, they could have been absolutely right.
Right.
But you can't
prove it.
You need to prove it for yourself, right? Because you'll always be wondering.
Yeah. And the worst thing that you could have is be sitting back and saying, I should have done it.
Right.
Because if you prove something wrong and you fall on your face, great. Like, what did that do? You just fell on your face. You get back up and you go. At least you can say, you know what? Don't want to do that again. Mm-hmm. Or you can say, you know what? I want to do that again. I know why I fell on my face. I just needed to, you know, I shouldn't have done a cartwheel. I should have actually sat in a chair. You know what I'm saying? Or, I don't know. Like, you know, don't. Man, I shouldn't have followed through. Maybe I need to lose a little bit of weight before I do that cartwheel. I don't know. Like, the next time, I'm just not going to fall on my face.
And you know what? We don't even need that girl with the cartwheel. We have so many examples just personally of when we were like, oh, don't worry, I can do this.
I can do that.
Or I'm about to do this. And no.
No.
No, did not.
What is in your head, you know, you need to just put yourself in check. Check yourself.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we've been talking for a bit, so I'm going to give you one more and then we're going to close up. The last one is start with something simple. Don't bite off more than you can chew. It's better to leap over small hurdles than build a giant wall in front of yourself. And so you wake up in the morning, you have these, you're motivated. You're motivated by the money. You're motivated by the reward. You're motivated by power. You're motivated by helping others. You're motivated by all these things, your passion, you know, recognition. You're motivated by all these things and you get going. And then there's all these things that get in your way. And one of those things is you're biting off more than you can chew. And you're setting yourself up for failure because now it's sort of like you can't do everything. You really can't.
Right.
You can do some things, and sometimes it's better to start off small. And I hate the fact that we're talking so much about this new thing that we are starting without telling you, because it's sort of like, well, what is it? What is it?
Right.
We're going to tell you. But let me just say this one more time. We were having a meeting today and we had all the plans all there, and then we saw like this huge mountain before us and we're like, what are we doing?
We can't do that. Nope.
And so we just scaled back. Mm-hmm. And did something that was more bite-sized.
That's right.
Something that we can handle. And that's what we're doing now. In our transition, we are scaling back and we're doing things that we feel that we can handle more. And it is, I just think that I feel better about that. I feel better, a whole lot more hope. But
even with that, I'm still like, oh boy. So.
Right. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But with everything, it takes a lot of work. And without challenge, there is no change. And so like our motto says, you know, change comes with challenge. So.
Thanks for listening. Please make sure to leave a rating and review for us. Subscribe and share. Join us again Monday through Friday. Show notes are found on theonyxlife.com. Join our Facebook, The Onyx Life, and follow us on Twitter at Rita_Onyx, at Mitch_Onyx, at The Onyx Family, at The Onyx Life, and on Instagram at The Onyx Life Official.
Now go live that Onyx Life where change comes with challenge. See you next time.